Hello and welcome to the Rambling Runner Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Chittum, and this is the podcast for all the dedicated amateur runners out there who are working hard to get better while balancing running with the rest of their lives. So excited for today's show. We got Taylor Bodine in the house, and we're doing shoe talk. And today, specifically, we're doing trail shoe talk. We got some running shoe comparisons, some of the hottest shoes out there on the trails. We're comparing them to each other, and we're going to do a little state of trail running shoe talk as well at the end. This was so much fun. Taylor and I could talk shoes all day long. We tried to limit it to under 90 minutes today, but yeah. Who's to say we can't have Taylor back on in the near future to continue this conversation? This was so much fun. Speaking of so much fun, have you checked out Relay yet? Oh my gosh, so much great stuff is happening over on Relay. That is the subscription service that I'm a part of, along with a lot of people you probably know, like Kara Goucher, Stephanie Flippin, Lindsey Hine, Peter Bromka, Marcus Brown, Carolyn Sue, Kafuzi, Zoe Rome. Amazing people. And just this week on the podcast, or on the podcast over on Relay, we had Zoe and Peter put out their monthly podcast called Writer's Block, talking about writing and running. We had Lindsey Hine put out a show with Emma Bates that was absolutely fantastic. Even Peter Bromka's dad commented, sent an email, said that episode was unbelievable. We had a Coach's Corner episode, which actually was a live show, me and Stephanie Flippin, talking all things marathon pacing. Then we put it out as a podcast. Today, Kafuzi put out a basically a running shoe review roundup that he's going to be doing every month. Just so much good stuff over there. For $9 a month, you have 9 people giving you content, over 20 pieces of content a month. And it's just such good stuff. It really is. Go to patreon.com/relay or check out the link in the show notes. You're going to get some really good stuff. Right? It's a monthly subscription. You can either buy, you can go month to month with it, $9 a month, or you can subscribe for the whole year and you get 10% off if you do that. It's just a great deal for a lot of great people and some really high level running content. Speaking of high level running content, I hope that's what you're going to get from this episode. I think it is. I really do. So let's get into it with Taylor Bodine. All right, we are here with one of my favorite shoe reviewers. Taylor Bodine is in the house. Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
This is really exciting. So you're someone who reviews shoes for Believe in the Run. Yep. And I say that, some people might know them through their YouTube channel. Also, they have a very robust website with a lot of contributors. You are one of a steady stream of constant contributors helping out, and you do a lot of the trail reviews in conjunction with some other people that I've gotten to know really well as well. And you guys put out some great work. I like their videos, but I love the Believe in the Run written reviews. I think that is where the meat is. The YouTube videos, they're exciting. They're very funny, and they're very entertaining. I think for the really in-depth stuff, the written reviews are absolutely excellent, road and trail shoes, and you specialize on the trail side. So before we get into it, and we have let me just go through the agenda. I'm going to start doing this more on the podcast. Go through the agenda so people have a sense of what's happening. We're going to talk about some topics. This is not necessarily in order. I'm going to let you pick the order, Taylor, because you are the expert on this stuff. We're going to talk about and just do some shoe comparisons. We're going to compare the Endorphin Edge with the Hoka Tecton X. Okay, we're going to compare the Hoka Speed Goat 5 with the Saucony Exodus. These are two kind of shoes that people may be choosing one or the other for some of these comparisons. We're going to be talking about the Hoka Mafate Speed 5, which looks like an exciting shoe, with the Nike Zagama, another max shoe that has hit the market. And we're going to do a little inside baseball with some trail topics. We're going to talk about the rise of high-priced boutique trail shoes and a topic that I can't wait to talk about, Merrell versus Nike when it comes to trail shoes. I think people would be like, first of all, who's Merrell? What is Merrell? Well, I'll tell you, I think from a trail shoe perspective, you could put a compelling argument that they actually are a better trail company than Nike. But I want to hear your thoughts on this, because I know that you're a Merrell fan, which I think can go fly under the radar for a lot of people. And finally, or not finally, but the last one that I definitely want to touch on are just road shoes that have a lot of utility as trail shoes. I think that there is certainly a market for that, because first of all, there's a lot of trails out there that people run aren't really that technical. And so you don't have to really get into trail shoes. You see a lot of these road to trail shoes now, which I think is kind of like a misnomer in some sense, because like there's plenty of road shoes that you could just do that in anyway already. right? So I think there's other shoes that you definitely would not want to do that in, especially like the rubberized EVA foam shoes. I'm looking at you, Hoka Mach 5. Don't take that out on the trail. Or the Saucony Kinvara 13. But there's a lot of other shoes on the end of the spectrum that could work. So, Taylor, before we dive into all those, how did you get into shoe reviews in the first place?
By chance, really. I ran a race a few years ago. It was just a local hometown race, and I wanted to win it I had a goal. And the race director came up to me afterward and said, just wanted to chat a little more because he's like, if you can beat the race director, like, he wanted to talk to me, let's just say that. And he, at the time, this is Don Reichelt, who used to review for Believe in the Run 2. And we just became good friends after that day. And when he started doing some other ventures, he just brought up my name to Thomas and Robbie and Megan at Believe in the Run. And that's really how it came to be, just really by chance. And my mom always said, it's all about who you know and then about what you know. So it was one of those cases for sure.
Well, you've certainly taken the bull by the horns, because the shoe reviews that you've done have been absolutely fantastic. A lot of good information.
Thank you.
And I should say, I've already have said this, I'm going to repeat myself. The written reviews on the Believe in the Run page are absolutely phenomenal. Go check them out, people. Don't merely rely on the YouTube videos. They are great. But I would say if you're interested in a shoe, go read the written reviews, because there is so much information. And that's definitely one of the best sites that I have found. And I love shoe reviews. I read them just for fun. I read them for entertainment. Not even to buy shoes. But as someone who's getting into more trail running, I've always read your trail reviews and the whole team.
Thank you.
Someone who's getting into trail running more and more over the past 4 to 5 months, I've really kind of been diving in and trying new shoes and really checking them out. And I wanted to get into this because there's some really exciting shoes for trail runners out there, and some shoes that people might want to wear who kind of maybe do some trail running a little bit and run on the roads a little bit and things like that. So I want to dive into this. However, I'm going to leave it up to you. All right. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the comparisons, or do you want to start with some of the open-ended questions that we were talking about?
Maybe we can get into some comparisons right away, because there's a few shoes that get just tossed out there as ones that, if you are getting the trail runner, like, this is what you should try, because it's on so many people's feet. But I think even before that, it's worth noting that trail running shoes are really their own niche and set apart from road running shoes. And that might seem obvious, but in so many ways, because there are so many different types of trails, so many different types of trail runs, and even more so with roads, there's a huge diversity, and people can get lost in that pretty quickly, just by saying, like, this is a shoe for any terrain. So I think when we look at some of these shoes and these comparisons, we'll notice that some might be good in this area, but also really shine in this area, or just don't do well in other areas.
Right. That's a great point. Yeah. It might be like, hey, always get this shoe over that shoe. It might just be like, this shoe's better for this shoe's better for that. Right. So that's a great point, where you don't necessarily see that on the road as much, unless it's like, hey, if you're a heel striker, maybe this one, as opposed to 4 foot striker, where this is more maybe terrain dependent.
Definitely.
Where obviously you wouldn't get that on the roads. Certainly I would hope that you won't get that on the roads. If you're running on terrain dependent roads, find a smoother road. I would say.
Exactly.
Get off the cracked roads. all right. So let's get into it. Let's go with the big names. We're at the top. The carbon plated, really fast, exciting shoes that have been on the market that a lot of people are interested in, especially for race day. But we also talk about the utility and durability as training shoes. And that is the Saucony Endorphin Edge and the Hoka Tecton X.
And I have both of them here. I'll just show them on camera. Here's the Saucony Endorphin Edge and the Hoka Tecton X.
I love that. We should say, the Saucony Endorphin Edge comes from the Endorphin line. People know the Endorphin Pro and the Endorphin Speed on the roads. The Endorphin Edge. We had a slight little Endorphin trail last year that I think Saucony has tried to do, like the Men in Black little beam of light to have everyone forget that actually happened. And then the Endorphin Edge is here. to basically pick up the mantle where Saucony has crushed it on the roads with those two shoes and taking it to the trails, whereas the Tecton X is really Hoka's first foray into a carbon-plated shoe for the trails. And these shoes are really, I keep seeing that these are the two best speed day, fast racing shoes for trails. Is that something that you would say just right from the jump?
I would say that in general, if it's going to be a moderate to smooth trail, you'll see these on people's feet. Once it gets to the really longer distance, we know that even in the technology that these shoes have in terms of carbon fiber plates, it's a lot different than what you would see in a normal road shoe. So they can like go up to those 50 mile, 100K. Some people even run 100 miles in them. But once you get to those over 50 mile, it starts to lean back toward the side of not having any plates. And so that's just an interesting thing too. So do you want to just get right into
let's dive into it. Absolutely.
Which one you want to go first?
All right. Let's talk about I see you got the Saucony in your hand. Let's talk about the Saucony because this is what I've heard. So let me tee this up for you and you can take it from there. I hear everyone talk about this shoe in a very similar way, that this shoe is extremely explosive. However, you want to, you remember like those CDs that would come out with the parental advisory stickers? Basically, people describe this shoe as if it should have a parental advisory sticker on the box because it's really explosive. However, be careful.
Yep. It's a wild shoe. And I feel like a shoe like, let's see, on the road side, maybe the Alpha Fly, the original Alpha Fly would be a little bit of a comparison. It's hard to compare any shoe to that, but that it was like a little untamed in that way. And that's like definitely the shoe. It's wild. It's a scary one to run in. And that's one of the adjectives that a lot of our reviewers were kind of hinting at. And I haven't felt that in a lot of shoes, but it's scary in a very fun way.
Describe that. What do you mean? You say scary? Like what about it? Or in what situations does that word come to mind?
Yeah. Well, it has the same foam that the Road Line does. So it's that Power Run PB foam. It's really responsive. It's super light, and there's a lot of cushion under there. But then when you add that with a plate to be able to compress down, and it feels a little bit like propulsion. That's what it is, rocket propulsion. And this is one of the only shoes on the trail side that actually has that type of propulsion. So when you mix that kind of propulsion with any sort of technicality on a trail, it gets scary because all that energy needs a place to go. And usually in trail running, if it's worthy of calling a trail, I'd say like you're going to be paying attention to where you're putting your foot, ups and downs, you know, rocks, roots, everything in there. It's a fun one, and you can't help but to go fast. It's not a slow day runner by any means. I wouldn't even take this out. Like, I don't even think I'd go 50 miles in it because I wouldn't be able to go the speed I want to in it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. So when you hear oftentimes when people talk about running on technical terrain, the first thing that comes to mind is the grip of the shoe. It basically starts and ends with grip. Maybe a rock plate comes into it, but I feel like the rock plates are kind of falling out of fashion now. And, you know, do you have enough cushioning to kind of withstand, you know, the force of a rock or a root, right? So if it's a really low stack shoe, even if it has great grip, it can kind of cause problems, maybe especially if you want to go a little bit longer. So when you have that element of like, you have this shoe, Saucony has been known with the Speed Track outsoles, like the Peregrine is like one of the grippiest shoes around, right? And it has that same chevron shape. So you have that shape, you have the Speed Track, and you have this dense cushioning. What would then make it so tricky on these technical terrains? Because it seemed to have the possible components to be able to handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to bring out a different shoe that kind of started the carbon plated craze, the North Face Flight Vective. And one thing that this was hard to run in, it had that rocker, it had the plate, the foam was much more firm than what most people would like. I didn't mind it and used this for a couple races actually, but it has a full length plate like a traditional road shoe, and it doesn't have that flex. So the energy really is only going in one direction or the other. And so step on a rock, you're going the way that the shoe is directed, if that makes sense.
Okay.
This plate is a little bit different. It's not a full length plate. It ends about right here.
And so midway up the heel for people who are listening.
Yeah, exactly. So it goes from midway up the heel and it starts spreading kind of around the toes. It's a little thicker through here, but there's a split right in the middle, a little toward the big toe. So it's a wishbone shape is what Carbitex and Saucony would say. And being that it's a Carbitex carbon plate, it does have more flex in one direction and not much in the other, if that makes sense. So that's what we're seeing more in the trail line. But even so, it is a carbon plate and you can put a lot of energy because this foam is so light, it's so bouncy. You can put a lot of energy. I mean, coming downhill, you're putting 3 to 4 times your body weight right down on that plate. So that's a lot more than what you would typically feel in a road shoe. And it is, if you're leaning forward down into that hill, proper form, like this is going to shoot you forward more than you're used to. And that's where it kind of becomes dangerous. And to mention, it is a little squirrely side to side.
Okay. Yeah, because you do have the high stack. It is a light shoe. It's made to be a racer. Yes. So yep. Did you feel like you had a lockdown or did you feel like you were kind of swimming around in there?
The more modern Saucony shoes, they do have much more room up here, which was fine with my foot. I have a fairly average foot. If you're used to Nike's Adidas, this would feel very roomy. Even some Hokas, it might feel pretty roomy. And they did that on purpose because it is meant to be an ultra distance racer. Where we did have some troubles was right around the collar. It just couldn't quite get tight enough, not enough structure to be able to feel super comfortable going on some of that technical terrain.
Okay. All right, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
If you're running, so they say this is a really fast shoe that maybe lends itself more towards, you know, dirt roads, you know, kind of like, you know, crushed gravel, you know, buffed out trails type, right? Someone who's running like Tunnel mm-hmm. Hill kind of vibe, right? Kind of that kind of thing. Would you recommend this shoe or in that situation, would someone just be better served running in like the Endorphin Pro 3? Kind of like just go with the road shoe that would be just fine on that kind of terrain.
Yep. I think that's more along the lines of what people are doing. And maybe with the exception of these two shoes, a lot of Hoka athletes prefer this over any other of the road shoes even.
I was going to talk about that for sure.
Yeah. So it's really depending on what shoe's going to work really good. On the Saucony line, I think for a race like Tunnel Hill where we can just say it's like a gravel path. I wouldn't necessarily call it a trail. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been out there, it is just a gravel rails to trail. And something like this, it is light enough to contend, but because the road shoe versions of it are so tried and true and they're more unilateral, I think those are going to be the better bets. But if there is any like true single track, even if there's not, even if there is some rocks, roots that you're dodging, this can be a really good option, especially if you're trying to go fast. Now, if you're trying to go a little farther, that's where I would choose the Tecton X. And I think this can handle more technicality than the Saucony can. But I think both, like you said, are great shoes for gravel road and the less technical terrain. But these ones kind of can hit the middle really good in terms of technical. But if it's gravel road all the way, you might want to choose a road shoe.
All right, let's talk about the Tecton X because yes. I'd had heard one of my friends who's actually been running Javelina is wearing that shoe at Javelina. He's really excited about it. And at the same time, he's like, hey, like, because he runs a lot of marathons too. So he dabbles mm-hmm. in both kinds of shoes. And he's like, hey, I like the Tecton X. I think it's a great shoe. He goes, I would never call it explosive. He goes, it's kind of marketed in the speed super shoe vibe. He goes, I don't get that vibe from this shoe. I think it's a great shoe, but I would never call it an explosive shoe.
In some cases, I beg to differ, but if you're used
Okay.
to the road marathon, road shoes, carbon plated road shoes, those are a lot more explosive than what you're going to experience. But if you are a trail runner, this will feel explosive. Maybe explosive is a very strong term. It's going to feel really responsive.
Okay.
Let's say
Gotcha.
that. Because this one, even less, the Tecton X, even less so than the Saucony, it's meant to be able to handle some of the terrain. So some of the rigidity that you would find in a single plate is lost here. But the Tecton X has two side-by-side plates that run almost the full length of the shoe. So that's where you might lose some of the go from explosiveness down to kind of downgrade it to very responsive.
And let's talk about the foams too, because part of this is the foams, right? Like when you talk about
Totally.
explosiveness, a lot of times it's the carbon fiber plate can provide some of that, but the foam, especially if they're super duper bouncy, you get a lot of that, just from that aspect.
Totally. Kind of jumping back to the Saucony again, this has just one density of foam throughout the whole shoe. And this is a PBAX-based foam, just same as their road line. And so you get a lot of rebound with that. And then traditionally, most trail shoes are still in the EVA realm, partly because it's very durable. You can do a lot of different things with it. And that's where the Tecton X went. They have two different foams that were, I am pretty sure they were premier in this shoe. You have a softer foam closer to the foot to get that cushioned feel, and then a slightly more firm foam down at the bottom to give some rigidity, especially with the plates. And that's those two foams sandwich the plate. So you kind of they were shooting to get the best of the both worlds of having a responsive ride with the cushion. And I think that's they really did achieve this. This is probably the shoe I would take for most races. I had a trail marathon on the docket, same one your coach is running actually, this fall, and this would be the shoe that I would take for sure.
Okay, so let's talk about the from a technical terrain standpoint. Is there a certain amount of technical terrain, say anything up from like a trail 10K up to distances you've already talked about, where the technicality may cross a line where you wouldn't necessarily view the Tecton X as the best option?
If it can really handle a lot, and I did a race in the spring with it where it had a lot, it had gravel road to single track that had, probably every other step you were watching where you're going, you had to be strategic, and to like a really steep climb where almost impossible to run. I don't know who could run that besides Killian, but if it is generally runnable, let's just say that, generally runnable, the Tecton X really is going to be a good option because it does have those side-by-side plates. And what that acts like is more like a suspension. And the Saucony did try to do something like that to play with the big toe and the forefoot a little bit more. But the truth in the matter is, very few people, especially in the when you're going those long trail ultras are going to be striking midfoot, forefoot the whole time. So this one plays a little bit better for those who do strike midfoot, maybe even rear foot, because that the suspension system that's built in allows for some play side to side, and you also get that rockered toe off and bounce. And like these plates are fairly rigid.
Oh yeah, look at that.
So,
All right. Well, it seems obvious that you are a bigger fan of the Tecton X than the Saucony Edge. So that is obviously clear. So not much of a comparison, right? Oh yeah, let's throw the caveat in there.
I'd throw the caveat in there. If it's going to be something that's like very runnable, not even just like up and down runnable, but like the terrain is fairly smooth, and let's say like 50K or lower, I think
Oh.
the amount of cushion that this gives, and it's lighter, not a ton lighter than the Tecton X. It is lighter, but the amount of cushion and the propulsion it can give, It's just so fun. Like, it'd be a fun race shoe if you had the right conditions. Tecton
Okay.
X is a more versatile, I'd say. And if I'm ever questioning something, yeah, I'd go with the Tecton X.
All right. How about now that we've seen, again, most people listening to this would never participate in one of these races, but if someone's doing a VK, right? A vertical, a vertical kilometer up, or some of those climb the mountain kind of races, and you're not going back down the mountain during the race. So would the
Totally.
Saucony Edge be a good one for that too?
I think so because you're able to pick and choose your footing a lot more on the uphill than you are on the downhill. And the one of the benefits of these types of foams and plates is that on the uphill, you're almost always going to be on that mid to forefoot in which these shoes are made to be landing there. So it really does help with a little propulsion on the uphill. And I even found
I have
that
found
in
like hill
the.
strides to be like the best test of like of how explosive is a carbon plated shoe. Like do hill strides and like then you're really gonna be
Totally.
able to tell.
Yep. So I think it'd be fine. I wouldn't go for for a trail race, I wouldn't go for that like next percent or anything like that. But if they are some of those true trail races going to the peak, yeah. Like Pikes Peak Marathon was just a couple
Right.
weeks ago. That's a if you the type of shoe that athletes chose because the Golden Trail Series is a series that Salomon puts on every year and just really high caliber international athletes. Because this year it was only the uphill version of it, there was a different type of shoe that most athletes chose than if they were going up and down. And I think, yeah, the Saucony Endorphin Edge would fit that mold for sure.
That makes sense. Okay. That was a good one. We went way long on that
Yeah,
description.
sorry.
And for good
Sorry.
reason. This is a good reason. This is a lot of people like this shoe. And I'm gonna say, we're not even done yet. Because I have one more question. But I think I was not a good host. All right. We're now like the 24-minute mark. We've done one question. But I will say this. I do want to ask this, I should say. The Tecton X you described, much more versatile. It can do a variety of different terrains. The question is, these are pricey shoes. Right. So, from a durability perspective, is this a shoe that people could put a ton of miles in, or could they just view this as a racer where maybe it's a, if and if that's the case, maybe it's just not the best fit for people? I say this to say, like, on the roads, we see this all the time, right? Like, if you have, I like the New Balance RC Elite 2. I think it's one of the best shoes out there because I have like 350 miles in that shoe, and I have a lot of shoes. That shoe has the exact same amount of pop. The outsole is totally fine. I can just keep going in that shoe. As opposed to some other shoes, I don't feel comfortable doing that in. And it's like, okay, I could just see you wearing this shoe 3 times a week for a year, whereas other shoes you would never say that about in the same category.
Totally. Yep. And I think both of these kind of fall into the category of like, I reserve them for a race and I get shoes to my door like every week. And I'll reserve them for a race because you want that particular pop. And the types of foams used in them, especially, will wear down. And especially on the Saucony, the outsole will wear down pretty quickly. The Tecton X has a Vibram Mega Grip light base. And that's proven to be really durable, but the foams will probably wear out before the outsole.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's talk about the Speed Goat 5, the Hoka
Yeah.
Speed Goat 5, I should say, and the Saucony Exodus. I put these two together because I think of these as shoes that can do a lot of things. They're kind of like the big staple shoes for two major brands. I'm not trying to do Hoka versus Saucony the whole time. It's just kind of like an odd little quirk of this. I'm seeing this after the fact. Hoka Speed Goat 5, both these shoes have been really bravely reviewed, and they seem like they can do from the daily trail 5 to 8 mile to people wearing them for 75 to 100 miles. Like this seems like they check a lot of boxes for a lot of people and seem like a really good comparison point for people who want to just get one shoe and not get both.
Totally. Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. And one of those shoes, the Speed Goat, is one that is almost always recommended to trail runners. The Exodus, a little less, but I think the new Exodus Ultra takes a very different vein than the original Exodus. So I don't think it's been as popular, but I think it should. I think it's a much better shoe. Maybe not than the Speed Goat exactly. But then the former Exodus.
All right.
But popular shoes for sure. Can go
super popular.
Just about anything.
Right. Yep. Super popular. So we don't have to get into every single spec of these shoes. We'll push people to believe in the run to read the reviews. Let's just talk about what you like about the Speed Goat 5.
Yeah, the Speed Goat 5. And I just got over 100 miles in this. So that says something to a reviewer, because I rarely get the chance to come back and cycle through to other shoes. And I just got 100 miles in this. I live in the mountains. So the firmer density foam, it's considered high stack. That is nice for me because I'm much more protected. The fit is also really nice. The Speed Goat 5 upper materials is a little contested this year, but I didn't feel that until over 100 miles. But the fit is generally nice, nice and snug through the midfoot and the heel, which is what I look for most.
My expanded pretty quick. I have to pull them tight because my upper expanded. Yep. I have my feet are shaped like a hockey stick. They're super narrow. So after my second run, I was like, wow, I got to really buckle these down.
Yeah. So, and it took me probably, 100 miles until I'm realizing this. I went on a really technical terrain run, and then I'm realizing it because I'd stopped three times to really pull this down. And most of my runs are rather technical, but it took me a little longer, but I think my forefoot is a little wider too, so it filled the space better. But yeah, so I think it can do just about anything. It's really comfortable. It does have that rocker, so it can do smooth terrain. Like, I enjoy this on gravel roads. I have all these different shoes. It's not my first choice, but you can do anything from, go out for your 30-minute run to many, many hours. For both of these shoes. With the Saucony Exodus Ultra, what I like about that, even over the Speed Goat, is that the foams and the stack is lower, but the combination of foams it has gives it equal amount of protection, equal amount of comfort, and maybe even more comfort because it has that PBAX-based inner core, so it makes it softer, a lot like the Roadline. That Power Run PB. So I really like that. And it's lower to the ground. So I felt like this one could handle more with a much more durable upper. So now that I have over 100 miles in the Speed Goat, I'm getting close with this one because I have reached for the Saucony Exodus Ultra more. And this one's being more tried and true for me. I did have some issues in the back part. Toward the heel where it wasn't locking down as much, but that's not usually a problem unless it's rather technical and speedy. But very comparable shoes overall. And I mean, it's somewhat of a toss up here, I'd have to say.
Yeah. And so let's talk about grip. I feel like I have the Speed Goat 5. I've never had any problem with the grip at all. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it seems like the Saucony, people have been raving about their grip for a long time.
Totally. Yeah. All of Hoka's trail shoes are going with the Vibram Mega Grip. And it's very durable, very grippy in a lot of conditions. There's no reason why they wouldn't go for that. On the Saucony, it's their Power Track. And this Power Track is different from the Endorphin Edge that I was talking about. This is much more grippy. It's going to be a lot more durable. The other one feels like more of a foam-based Power Track version. This feels rubberized and grippy.
Gotcha. And I think I said Speed Track before. So thank you for low-key correcting me there.
Yeah.
That's good to know. And when you hold them up, one thing that's an obvious difference with these shoes, and there's a lot of similarities, the obvious difference is the width of the shoe, specifically the midsole and outsole. And I've noticed, as someone who's run in the Speed Goat 5, is it is a very wide platform, which is great for stability. However, I didn't view it as a fun shoe, right? I thought it was fine. I didn't dislike it, but I was much more like, this is protective. This is solid. This is really nice. But it was it almost was like the really good safety school kind of version of shoes for me. Right? Yeah. I was never like, this is great. Let's rock. Right. But it was like, this is fine. This is totally fine. There's no problems. I can't complain about this shoe necessarily, but I'm always seemingly grabbing other shoes. But this one might be a little better on this run. This one might be better on that run. And I wonder when I see the width of the shoe is distinctly different, if you notice just a nimbleness difference when you're running in either of these.
I do. Part of that is because of the width. I feel it more once we get to like the Mafate Speed 5, the width a little bit more because of the different densities of the foam. The Saucony Exodus Ultra is a little squirrely on the backside. It does get really slim through the heel, and you can feel that once you pick up the speed. It's not like a do or die for me personally. I really like the feel of the shoe. But you're right. The Speed Goat, you don't have to think about it. It's what people think they want when they come to the trails. And the Speed Goat has been such a hot seller that they are starting to bend toward this sellability. Sure, is that even a
Yeah,
word?
let's do it.
Yeah, sure.
I'm comparing shoes to colleges, so you can definitely say
Yeah,
sellability.
exactly. So they want this to sell, and part of that is because you do feel like you need some stability on the trails, and you do to an extent. Most people will want that, so that's where that might be a little better for the general public, especially if one, if you're running a little slower or choosing to hike a little more, some stability is going to be nice. If you're running a little more or want more of that running shoe feel, less of a hiker, I think they both feel like running shoes. Let me just say that. But the Saucony is more of that running shoe feel.
Yeah, and if people have never seen the Speed Goat 5 on the bottom, it resembles like the width of like the Hoka Bondi, right? That it has that it looks like it has the same kind of platform.
Totally does.
So again, and that's I'm not throwing shade at all. I think the shoe provides a lot, and I'm someone who needs a little stability on the trail. I have tremendously bad ankles, so again, I've never had to worry about the Speed Goat 5 on my feet at all, which has been a pleasure. But I also never was like, yeah. I'm rocking it. There's times where I'm like, oh, I feel like these shoes are either they're not heavy, but they're some shoes who that are bottom heavy feel heavier than their stats, right? There's some shoes that like
Totally.
their
Yep.
upper is built up and their midsole is low stack, and you're like, all right, it says 9.5, but it feels like 8.7, right? It just sometimes
Totally.
shoes don't match their metrics. So, because these shoes are do-it-all shoes, and it's not like I would choose one for this case, this one for other cases, you can just make. Potentially, I'm gonna put your words in your mouth. You can make a hard and fast. This is the one I would choose over that one. Which one is it for you?
Man. I think
You knew I was gonna ask you this question.
I know
What?
this is probably the hardest comparison for me, these two shoes, because they are so popular. I'd say because of security on the foot is so big for me. Like that's the number one thing I look at in trail shoes. If they're calling it a technical terrain trail shoe, like that's what I look at. And I think I would go with the Exodus Ultra.
Okay. All right. There you go. So you can also frame it a different way, right? It'd be like, okay, if you were traveling for a week, you had to bring one of these shoes, you would bring the Exodus Ultra.
Speed Goat 5. That's it.
No!
This is the hardest one for me.
Okay. How about this? Does it come down to foot shape, right? Because we know the Hoka
It
Speed
would.
Goat 5 has a wider platform. My foot swims in it. And I say this, I wear ankle braces on the trail, and my foot still swims in it.
Yeah, if you have a slightly wider foot, it both would be good because they play the forefoot so
Okay.
much. If it's the heel that you're looking for, the Speed Goat really has that. Like
Gotcha.
they have the lockdown in the midfoot to the rear. So let me just say, I'll say Speed Goat. If it's a general, any type of run, any distance, Speed Goat
Speed
5.
Go 5. There it is. All right. So you changed. You went
Close.
to Saucony. We're
Yeah.
coming back. Speed Go 5 for the win. All right. Our last shoe comparison. Okay. I don't know a lot about shoes. This might, you correct me if this is a bad comparison to begin with. I thought this might be a good one. These are both new shoes. Maybe a lot of people listening to this haven't even seen these shoes in terms of like at the store. They're certainly you can see them all over the internet. And you might have not tried these. I'm talking to the people, not you, but to people out there. This is the Mafate Speed 5 versus the Nike Zegama. The reason we're putting these, the reason I put these in a group are these are high stack shoes that seemingly are marketed as these can go all day. Also, you could race these shoes in much longer ultras. That they kind of have that component to it. So we'll see. The Zagama is a new shoe. The Mofate has been around. The Mofate, the previous one, was a beast. It was thick. It was heavy. It was just a beast. People still ran in it.
Yeah.
People still ran. I couldn't believe it. Like, I never was close to buying it, but some people love that shoe. Where the Nike Zagama is a newer shoe with the ZoomX core, kind of like how we talked about with the Saucony Exodus Ultra that had a PBAX core. But hey, let's start out here. You can kind of pick it up with how we did the other shoes.
Yeah. I'll start with the Mofate Speed 5. This one is going to be underrated just because the Speed Goat 5 is so popular. But any day, any trail, I would choose this over the Speed Goat 5.
Oh.
So if I'm traveling, this is going to be my shoe probably.
Okay. Gotcha. And we should say that it's also about $30 more than the Speed Goat 5. But you're saying that they're putting their money where their mouth is on this one.
Totally. Yeah. This one is like comeback story from the last year, especially.
The tank.
Like the tank. Yeah. So the Mofate Speed 5 is taking a similar vein as the Tecton X. I would say this is like the trainer version of the Tecton X. And
it looks just like the Hoka Mach 5. I mean, even like the detailing on the upper midsole, right? The top level midsole even has the same tooling that the Hoka Mach 5 has.
Yep. And they took that similar because that Mach 5, Mach 4, like it's just a great do-it-all shoe, right? For the roads. And this is a great do-it-all shoe for the trails. And even if you're going dirt roads, this is a fine one because of the lug pattern, the foams, all of it. One of the main differences is that this has two densities of foam compared to the Speed Goat 5. And the Nike also has two densities of foam, but this is layered, very much just like the Mach series or the Tecton X series, with a softer foam toward the foot and more firm down toward the bottom. The difference here between the Mofate Speed 5 and the Tecton X is that there's more of that softer layer. So comfort and going longer is more at the forefront of the Mofate Speed 5.
And no plate. So more top layer no soft plate. Foam and no plates.
Yep. Same mega grip. I guess this has a mega grip outsole just like the Speed Goat, whereas the Tecton X has mega grip light base, just a little bit lighter material. Yeah. But the difference here, again, the upper is much more structured. It's a jacquard upper as compared to this more knit, flexible upper on the Speed Goat. And this just maintains its rigidity a lot more. And I've gotten like close to 100 miles on this one already. And I've just recently got it like not too long ago. So that tells you, again, as a reviewer, I'm getting in this shoe as much as I can, really. It's just a great shoe.
So let's talk about weight, because the original was heavy as heck. So what's this one like? Not the original, but the last version.
Yeah, this one's average. And just because it does have that, they call it an early stage meta rocker. It's a rocker. Because it does have that toe off, feels really nice and it does feel really cushioned. It feels lighter, but it is a very average shoe, which is in like, if I remember that right, it's like the low 11 ounces and I wear a men's 10 and a half. So this is like 11.3 maybe. I'd have to check on that for sure, but low 11 ounces. And that's going to be the same, similar for the Nike.
Right. Let's talk about the Zagama.
Zagama kind of takes a similar approach with two densities of foam. It's a lot here. And I think a lot of people were excited because it says ZoomX right here. It'd be the first trail shoe that has ZoomX, same as the Next Percent, same as the Alphafly. And that is exciting. It's a really nice feeling foam. It's not the same though, because it's a ZoomX core with a different foam on the outside.
Which is basically like the Nike Vomero 16, which is like has like the outer layer foam and then the ZoomX core, which you don't really feel.
Yeah, exactly. I thought this felt really nice and they did a really nice job with the upper. They kind of took the approach of this is like a Frankenstein of a lot of shoes, of their shoes, Whereas like the heel collar is Wild Horse, obviously, with the booty like upper. It's really structured back here, so it does feel really fitted, even through the midfoot. Generally, Nike's a little slimmer. So this just fits really nicely up here, like the Terra Kiger, which is a very popular shoe too, one of those popular ones that people just kind of schlep out. But overall, this was a little bit of a surprise to me. Calling it a Zagama is a little bit of a misclaimer, I think, because you think that's a very fast technical race. I would not take this on a fast technical race.
Okay, so this is more like the Mafate, like an all-day shoe.
This is an all-day shoe and it feels very good. I'd say I have an average foot. My foot won't be able to last all day in this, just for the fit and feel on the upper.
Oh, okay. And Nikes have been known to be, I guess everyone says, every reviewer says the same thing, right? Nike trail shoes. Can you just outsource the rubber at this point? You guys just, you get it
Oh
wrong
yeah,
every year.
terrible.
This one's terrible too.
Yeah, I think the lug pattern is nice and it's fine on dry trails, but even if it starts to get sandy mixed in with some rock or if there's any sort of moisture, it just sucks. Like there's no other way around it, and I feel like it's a joke at this point from Nike of like just I feel like I put it in my reviews too of Nike shoes lately, like they're just joking in the back room like we're going to keep people coming, but we're going to give them something to want more, you know? Like, and the outsole, they just need to do something different. There's no way around it.
And it's so funny because it's just like it's the I guess just like the kind of rubber, right? Because you're saying like the outsole pattern is not the problem, which is like such an odd thing. So you have two all day shoes that have high stack, that have dual density midsoles that can provide a really nice ride. It seems like it's a pretty obvious one which one you would choose though.
Yeah, I would choose the Mafate Speed 5. It's a lot more, I think it's going to be more durable in the long run. Again, that grip is a big game changer. And they both have really nice fits, but the 4 foot for me and the Mafate, it just going to fit and feel better for a lot longer.
I love it. I love it. All right. Shoe reviews done. All right, we're gonna take a quick break and we're gonna get back to it after this break. All right, we're back. So, got a couple questions we want to talk about, right? I think the first one that I want to touch on, you know what? We just talked about Nike. Let's just keep talking about Nike. All right. I'm like shifted mid-sentence there. Merrell versus Nike. Nike is the behemoth in just athletic shoes generally. Every single sport, Nike is, if not first, they're second, right? That's just where they live. Merrell is known more for a hiking outdoor brand, right? Like you can get it at REI and nowhere else. You know, right? If people like,
It
you know,
pretty
just in
much,
terms of
yeah.
like stereotypes of like what a shoe brand is, people might not even know that Merrell makes running shoes. Like there's legitimately people who are listening to this right now who said, I've
Seriously?
never seen a Merrell running shoe, right? Maybe I've seen the store. I've never seen anyone wear a Merrell running shoe. However, I will say this. I have bought three Merrell running shoes. I have bought the Skyfire, I have bought the Moab Flight, and I bought the Long Sky 2. And I've worn Nike trail shoes as well. I had the Nike Pegasus 3, and then I almost bought the Nike Pegasus Trail 4. I didn't. I was very close to it, but I got all these reviews of the rubber. I couldn't. I almost did it, but I'm like, no. Everyone says the rubber on this sucks. I run on technical terrain, and I'm so worried about my ankles all the time. I just couldn't pull the trigger. Is this an actual competition, Merrell versus Nike?
I'd say on paper, no. And in trail performance, maybe not even. Like, Merrell, I think outswings almost on every level.
Wow.
But yeah, they just are not known, and that's a bummer, you know?
Right, so we've done some Nike bashing. So, and I will say, it looks like they have a prototype speed shoe that a lot of people wore at UTMB, and that could end up being the real deal, right? There's no reason where Nike can't put out good trail shoes. There's no reason why that can be the case. And at some point, they will put out some of the best trail shoes out there because they can. And they will figure it out at some point. It's just a matter of when, not if. But right now, they just haven't, you know, they haven't squared the circle or whatever that expression is. However, what makes Meryl compelling that they are, in your mind, clearly better in this category?
Yeah, and with all the reviews I do, this Meryl brand just keeps rising to the top in terms of like durability, in terms of being like its technical prowess. Like just a lot of boxes are being checked that I usually try to look at for a trail running shoe. And Meryl just seems to pop it off on a lot of their shoes. Whereas like Nike, since that's the comparison we're making, it might have two things it does really well, but not across the board usually. Whereas Meryl, there's some shoes that it's just like, this is what they say it is, and that's what it is. And I found that with the same shoes as you bought. Like the Skyfire is not meant to be a top of the line trail shoe, but it's light, it's fast, it's simple, and it fits really good. Like everything that they said it was.
Yeah. So, you know, the shoe that for me, I like all three. The Long Sky 2, I just purchased. It is a, it is not a high stack shoe, right? It's a shoe that like, for me, it has a limited capacity in terms of how long I can go in that shoe. Cause I land 4 foot. I put a lot of pressure on it and I just can't go all day in that shoe. The grip is amazing and the fit is really good. For me, the shoe that I just absolutely loved was the Moab Flight. For me, it hit every box. The foam was soft, but not too soft. It was responsive. I could go all day in it, but it wasn't a high stack. It had the Vibram outsole, but it wasn't so grippy that I was tripping, but I was sure-footed on everything. I thought the upper was a little coarse on the outside, which has probably helped with this durability. I thought the only weird part of it was the tongue, frankly. Like, it had like this like padded, narrow tongue, which was like, what is this thing? But it didn't end up affecting the ride. It was just kind of like, it was a weird choice to make, I guess, for them. But ultimately, it didn't affect my experience. It just seemed like kind of a missed opportunity. But ultimately, it didn't affect the shoe that I had. I think it was like 9.4 ounces for a men's size 9. Like I could run fast in that shoe. It felt like a fast shoe, but at the same time, it felt like I could go all day in it. Like I got that shoe a year ago. I still wear it.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that I think we'll talk about too, of like being able to go to road to trail back and forth. And it felt good on both. It has some of the elements that you'd look for in any shoe, no matter what you're running. But quality, like, that's what it comes down to when we talk about Meryl shoes, quality.
Yeah, for sure. And for my experience with Meryl shoes, it seemed like they, for me at least, the three that I got were, the Moab Flight was very versatile, but I think they kind of tended more towards the shorter day, more technical side of things. Whereas if someone's like, hey, I like to go, I'm go for my 2 or 3 hour trail runs, does Meryl have an option for that? Or is that just not its niche?
Yeah, I think the Moab Flight does fall into that. There's also some shoes that even like for Meryl being not all that known, there's like the Nova that's marketed more toward like the cross between hiking and running or the Agility Synthesis. There's options, but they're just not as popular.
Okay, gotcha. All right, let's talk about somewhat not quite popular, but kind of towing the line there, which Meryl does, is some of these boutique trail shoe companies that are coming out. Yeah. I know you're a big fan of one of these, maybe multiples, right? The two that come to mind for me immediately are Speedland and Norda. And I know there's more than that. And we'll see what normal comes out and looks like from a pricing perspective. And maybe they're already out there. But, you know, Speedland and Norda, we're talking, you know, forget the Alphafly price. They're over that. Right. If you think the Alphafly is expensive, they are well over that.
Yeah.
You love Speedland. I've seen your reviews. Yeah. You break them all the time. You're carrying two of them right now.
What? Yeah.
Okay. This is an interesting thing for me because you talk about the trail culture, trail aesthetic. You don't think like, okay, this is the niche of people who want to spend you know, $500 on shoes, right?
Seriously.
You think that people are more towards the other end of like, hey, I'm going to sleep in my, if I can't, I'd rather just live in a van next to the trailhead. So how does these kinds of companies find that niche in this area?
One of those is performance. Like, one of the reasons I'm such a fan of the Speedland is not because it's the lightest, not necessarily because it's the fastest, but it ticks all the boxes, kind of like the Merrell that we were talking about, but with the highest quality components. Fit is one of them. Like, in, again, I've said this a few times in this podcast. Fit is like the thing I look at first.
I know everyone heard that. He's using the boa tightening system
Them. Yep. And something like Speedland, and I know there's other shoes that are coming out with boa and dual boa, but Speedland has the fit down. Dave and Kevin, they're masters of their craft. And this is really like a passion project that came after like illustrious careers from them. And so when they had the chance to do that and do it to the highest quality, like just really everything about the Speedland shoe is quality to the next level. This is not just your top shelf. This is like, go to the back room and choose that kind of quality.
So this isn't just like, so it's not just a high price to be like interesting and like, you know, times like you'll see like, again, I'll put this like to handbags, right? Or like to some cars where you're like we're trying to tell you the quality by the price, right? Like that our price is trying to illustrate to you that we should be deemed as high quality, but that isn't necessarily the case. It's almost like a marketing play.
Yeah. And I mean, there's some running brands that do that, like not to knock Satisfy Running at all, but they're like $200 for a t-shirt or a pair of shorts like that. But it's just a cotton shirt with their emblem and, you know, it's shot with a shotgun to make the holes, you know, the perforation, like it's very unique, but that doesn't mean it's more quality than others. Whereas Speedland, they're very unique and they are more quality than others. And I mean, could I go through some of the components real
quick?
Let's
do it.
Yeah, like the dual boa, that's boa in itself. It's just that dial system. And it also comes with a wrap. It's not just the type of laces. That's an expensive product to put on shoes. And usually, like there's the Ultra Mont Blanc. They came out with two different versions. One did have the dual boa, and that was like $30 or $40 more for virtually the same shoe. There's some better fit that comes with the dual boa, of course, but it's more, a lot more because, I mean, what they chose to use for it. So there's that with the dual boa. They have a Dyneema upper, which is basically indestructible. Like if you wear through this, it's not gonna be in the upper. It's probably gonna be some of these stitches coming out that detach the outsole from the shoe. Like that's what's going to break down first before this Dyneema upper. And the nice thing with Dyneema is that they're very environmentally conscious about it. It's one of those things that's going to last a lot and for a long, long time. And it's produced in a way that they're trying to be sustainable. That's at the forefront. So sustainability too with Speedland is at the forefront. And then a Michelin rubber. It's not the traditional just laid on the bottom. It cups around the forefoot, around the heel, and it's stitched on rather than glued on. So just so many things are just going to last so much longer. And that's not even going to the inside on how it feels. Like there's an inserted midsole in that, which takes place of the normal midsole that's usually under the foot glued onto the upper. This is inserted inside with a removable Carbitex plate. Carbitex is not, we've heard it from like the Saucony Endorphin Edge. It's not a cheap product because it's very good. So just everything about it is top notch.
Which begs the question then, is this actually a good value?
Yes. I'm going to say yes, definitely, because I mean, the amount of miles that I could get out of this and the enjoyment factor of every run that I've gotten on this. There's nothing else I need to worry about other than running, you know, like I can take this on the most technical terrain. It's not going to be the best for even door to trail, because it's meant to be a trail shoe. But
But most people don't do door to trail. I mean, maybe where you live, but
exactly.
the vast majority of people don't do that.
Yeah. So it's worth mile per mile. Like, you're not going to be spending much more for this shoe than, the Hoka that you're going to buy.
Could you get 1,000 miles out of that shoe? Could you get 2 Speedlands in a year, and that's like your yearly purchases if you wanted to be?
I think you could if they employed some sort of midsole trade. The insert, if they have a PBAX insert, and the foam is really nice. It's protective. It's kind of a medium density. It'll last a long time. It'll last the traditional 500 to 600 with feeling pretty good. But I think that's the way that you'd get, a full year. I think I can get a full year out of the shoe itself if I can get a different insert for the inside.
Got it. Got it. I like that. All right. Let's dive in to the last one. I just touched on a little bit, the whole door to trail thing, right? There are some shoes that are road shoes. They are never talked about in any of their marketing as trail shoes at all. However, trail runners will use them for trail shoes, right? I know that there are people who have run in, forget the Nike Trail Pegasus. People just running the Nike Pegasus on the trails, been
Yeah,
doing it for
exactly.
years, and they're like, this shoe's just fine, right? You see a lot of shoes that are basically, for all intents and purposes, kind of the full rubber coverage on the bottom of the shoe,
Totally.
and some degree of lug pattern there mixed with some other elements. What shoes have you worn that are maybe traditionally thought of as trail as road shoes that you have no problem either wearing or recommending to people to run on the trails with?
Yeah, there's a few that come to mind, and a lot of these, like you've said before, these door to trail shoes are coming out, but that's not always necessarily necessary. I've run in some Ultra shoes because they do have a that foot shaped, like the Ultra Provision 6 is one of those that I've, do often. I'm a cross country coach, and just from our school track, we can hit the paved trail, we can hit single track, all these different things. And I choose that shoe for practice because it can handle a lot of different things. And similarly, the Topo Athletic isn't a very well-known brand on either the road or trail side, but they also go with that slightly wider foot shaped shoe that just gives a lot of natural feel that feels good when it does transition from road to trail. It might not be the best road shoe, and I for either of those, but to be able to transition between it, like, I've loved those ones for sure. And even there was the Puma Velocity Nitro, the more recent one.
Took the words right out of my mouth. I was about to bring that one up
Yeah.
just now.
Yep.
I wore that shoe 3 days ago on a trail. So I'm going to be
Okay.
doing the Upton Trail Half Marathon in Massachusetts next month. So I kind of reconned the course. It's a two-loop course. So I went up there, ran it one through the Upton State Forest, and it was great. It was a mix of basically all elements of trail. There were some fire roads, there was some very technical parts, especially going uphill in one section, and then some, and basically everything in between. So it was kind of the full gamut of stuff. It was a dry day. I decided to wear the Puma Velocity Nitro 2. So I always take the Nitro out. The Puma Velocity 2,
Yeah.
basically the outsole is the Puma Velocity 1 is from all intents and purposes the same from an outsole perspective in terms of its utility in this sense. And it was fine. It was simply fine. It was. I never had to think about it. I just decided I was going to run in it like any other shoe. And after about half mile, I never thought about it again, except when I was thinking like, hey, this shoe's working out really well. And I would stop thinking about it. And the nice thing was, because it's a road shoe, it's also the like maybe the lightest shoe I have for the trails, right?
Yeah.
So it's like 8.7 ounces, 8.8 ounces. And I was able to open it up and feeling really good on some of the fire road stuff and things like that. And the shoe worked really well for me. And I'll tell you another shoe that has in the past I've used was a shoe that you're just, I think, now reviewing. It's the second edition, is what's called the Deviate. So that shoe is a higher stack shoe, so I don't think it's great for all things. But I wore that shoe on a lot of dirt roads, fire roads type stuff, and I thought that shoe was great in that element. We have Arcadia State Park here in Rhode Island. They have a ton of trails, but they also have some dirt roads that run through it. And I've done some long runs on those dirt roads, and that shoe was money, except for that little cutout that like seems to grab some hitchhiking rocks occasionally. But besides that, the shoe was freaking perfect for that. The grip was totally fine. Like, I really was able to dig deep into it. So, I mean, I'm a Puma fan, but I think those shoes, because they have the full rubber on the bottom, like, they were fine.
Totally. Yep. Yeah. And totally. Like, some people will, I mean, if you're wondering about a shoe, just go try your road shoe, like, first, right? Like, that might be something that many people are just afraid to try because it's not a trail shoe and they want to try trail running. Some of these road shoes really can do well. Some people will take like the Adidas SL series and because it already has that continental rubber too, kind of like the Puma grip, and it just fits their foot really nice. It's light and nimble and they can do a lot of things. But yeah, there's a
and
lot
it's
of
not too
can
soft, right? Like, you don't want to get like the super duper soft road shoe because you're going to feel the rocks coming through. Like, that's why the Puma Velocity Nitro 2 isn't the best road shoe, because people find it to be a little firm, and they're right. But that's why it's a good trail shoe, is that, like, it provides, you want some of that firmness in it. And, for sure, like, you don't want the rubberized EVA, like, bottom layer, right? You don't want to run the Hoka Mach 5. You don't want to run in the Kinvara 13. You don't, like, the Saucony Ride 15, I think, is a really good shoe. I did not like the Ride series at all before the Ride 15. I think it's a great road shoe. It has no traction on the roads, forget the trails. I'll say a shoe that I think is a good fit. Again, not for like a technical trail run, but I think maybe kind of how you described the like the Saucony Edge terrain, the terrain that would work well for the Saucony Edge would be the Saucony Tempest, because it kind of has a very similar outsole as the Saucony Edge. It's not a full rubber outsole, but it has the same chevron grip that kind of sticks out the same amount. So again. It wouldn't be for everything, but I think it would, and it has a wider platform. Like, you look down, it looks like the Hoka Speed Goat 5. Like, the midsole comes out past the stitching of the upper on all sides. I look down, it looks exactly the same except for the colors. So, like, I've worn that out on some, again, there's a lot of technical trails here in Rhode Island, for sure. On the much less technical ones, I've worn that out and been just fine in that too.
Yeah. And with the Saucony Ride, it's kind of funny, in the mail right now, it maybe be here tomorrow, is the Saucony Ride 15 TR, which is their trail version. So if you're liking that, you should maybe check into that.
That'll be interesting to see how that compares to like the Caldera 16. I mean, not the Caldera 16, I'm sorry. The Scott Jurek shoe. I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of it.
The Cascadia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not the Brooks Caldera. Yeah. But, because it was... because it's the same foam, right? It's not the same, because we were talking about Brooks. We're comparing Saucony to Brooks. But Power Run is, for all intents and purposes, it feels exactly the same as the foam in the Cascadia. Yep. But the Cascadia is so darn heavy. I wonder how you'd compare the Saucony Ride Trail to the Cascadia, because I could see, just from a stats perspective, you're like, oh, the foam is the same durometer, has the same heel drop, has the same stack height.
Yep.
You know, I could see there being like a competition there.
Yeah, totally. And there's a lot of shoes, like you said, the Pegasus Trail. They're just taking their road model, beefing it up in usually the outsole, and maybe adding some internal features to keep the foot lock down. But really, that's all they're changing between some of these shoes. So again, some of your road shoes might be good enough trail shoes that they're also coming out with a trail version of it, but not much is different.
Yeah. For sure. And then I'm trying to think. There was one other shoe I was going to mention. Now it escapes you. I'm not gonna buy it because I'm just like it's like just a bridge too far for me. I have to see some people really, really endorse it strongly. Is the Nova Blast 3 Trail, which is now available.
I mean, Kafuzi, he's been running in it, and he did say that it's not gonna be one that he takes for technical trails, but the Nova Blast, like, that series is hot right now. And we saw that at the running event last year. They brought it out to us, and it's intriguing for sure, but it is also a little scary because that's a high stack, fairly unstable. I hope to get it.
I've had I've have I had Nova Blast 1 and I had Nova Blast 2. Nova Blast 1 was like, I would describe it the same way you described the Saucony Edge. The difference was like, I almost stopped wearing it because I was like, this shoe is insane. Like, it's just insane. But once I hit the 50-mile mark, it like took like 3% off of like the crazy bounce effect.
Yeah.
And it was like, once I hit the 50-mile mark, I was like, oh, this shoe is amazing now. Like, it just had to be tamed a little bit and it was good to go. The Nova Blast 2 was kind of the opposite. Like, at first I was like, oh, this shoe has no life. And then at the 50-mile mark, it kind of opened up. It was kind of like an Adidas shoe. Like, you just needed a little bit to get going. And then you broke it in. Then it was like, oh, okay, and here's the bounce. But the the ASICS Nova Blast 1 was definitely had much more life in it than the second one. So I'm excited to get the Nova Blast 3. But now I'm running all these trails. I don't need so many road shoes. I don't know when I'm going to buy these road shoes anymore. But we'll see.
You're getting these gateway drugs of shoes, those door-to-trail shoes. Yeah.
I know. Those we get going, you get to see shoes before a lot of us. Obviously, I'm not going to ask you to like give us a shoe review before you're going to do it for Believe in the Run. But are there certain shoes that either you have in hand, not physically, but maybe metaphorically, or shoes that are coming your way that you've heard good things or that you're personally excited about?
Yeah, I have one here that's from Merrell. It's an updated version of the Skyfire. It's just the Skyfire 2. And it's a big change, but it's an exciting change. I really like the Skyfire like you did. It's just a simple shoe, but it's just taking some things to the next level where some trail shoes haven't. And then there's also a North Face shoe, actually like a whole onslaught of North Face shoes that we should be getting relatively soon that are just... they're like the Tecton X. They're taking this carbon plate in a new direction because it's not the same as road, not unilateral. And they've had a lot of success in some of these shoes that with their athletes already. So I'm excited to get into some of those.
Yeah, the shoe that I really want to see is the Fuji Light 2 from ASICS.
Yeah.
Everyone who ran in that shoe seemed to really, really like it. It has such a limited release. By the time I was actually ready, you're holding it right now. By the time I wanted to buy it, like the 10.5s were gone. Like there's not barely 10.5s anymore. And now like the Fuji Light 3 is about to come out. So I'm like, well, do I buy the Fuji Light 2, Fuji Light 3? People who ran in the Fuji Light 2, and we're going to get going after this, they seem to absolutely love that shoe. But ASICS is not known as a trail shoe company at all. Yeah. And it was one of
I'm
those
on that
like
train.
Yeah. So it was so interesting to see like that shoe got so much love, but like it never got the publicity for it. And then there was no like quick follow up of like, here's some more great trail shoes.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So, and just for the record, like so many companies are making, they're coming out with a lot of exciting things. And most companies do have really good products, maybe not great products, but good products across the board. And so it makes like this kind of choice pretty hard for people not like me where I'm, you know, getting all these shoes for free. But when you have to make a choice, it's hard because there's something for everybody and everything, any terrain, it's hard.
So did you like the Fuji Light 2?
I loved it. Yeah, it's one of the shoes, like I have a couple trails within a mile of my house. One's like a tenth of a mile, one's like a mile away. And I use that to do gravel road to there. It runs just fine on single track. Everything in between runs roads fine. But it was just a surprise because it, again, ticked a lot of the boxes that I look for in most trail shoes. But it had that familiarity of a road shoe too. So
that's awesome. All right, Taylor, people want to learn more about you or your work. Where should they go?
I'm on Instagram at Taylor J. Bodine. And that's really all that I do.
And then Believe in the Run.
For Believe in the Run, yeah. And I put a lot of stuff on there because I just love what I do with Believe in the Run. Yeah, the written reviews are incredible. We put a lot of work into those. We put a lot of miles. It's what we love to do. But then to be able to relay some of that information to the shoe nerds and the people who are just wanting to buy a good shoe. Like I believe in a lot of things that the Believe in the Run is doing. So just go to Believe in the Run, really.
I love the website is like, it's a very, very good website. Just like no matter what the topic was, just logistically. Like, so if there's a certain reviewer that fits your sensibilities, you're like, oh, this person, whatever they say about a shoe, I seem to agree, whether it's a like or a dislike. they have a great thing where, like, if you, like, you can go to that person, press their, you know, press their name or whatever, and all of their shoe reviews come lined up on the website, which was great. Like, I was able to, I read all your shoe reviews from, like, 2022 today, right? Just going through all of them. And it was cool to be like, wow, this functionality is really good. So I like to find people that, from a shoe review perspective, I'm like, all right, I seem to agree with this person a lot. I would recommend people do that. If Taylor's, you know, foot shape or running style doesn't work for you, but there's another person that does, follow that person, man, because it's like you get this, like, get that really good recommendation from someone you trust. Nothing's better than that. Taylor, thank you so much for doing this. Look at that, almost 75 minutes strong. I really appreciate it.
Seriously, I love having these conversations, and I don't get to have them with a lot of people like this. So thank you, Matt.
Taylor, thank you so much for coming on the show. Go check out his work over on Believe in the Run. Believe in the Run is just such a good site, for sure. Like, I talk about Relay. I love Relay. Believe in the Run also is doing great, great stuff. So many really interesting websites going on in the running world today. You got Free Trail, you got Free Trail Pro, Cities Mag, Believe in the Run, Relay. Good stuff all the way around. Go support those people. They're doing hard work. They're doing good work. And it's just helping the whole running community. Thank you so much for listening, and happy running.